the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Right now, though, they will just confirm that, as you say, the siege is over. We are, of course, seeking more details about exactly how that happened and trying to confirm reports of those fatalities and injuries. But right now, all we can confirm is that the New South Wales police say the siege is over. This all happened within the last hour or so. We saw more hostages emerging from the cafe where they had been held all day. And then after that, police stormed the cafe, and we heard from where I am standing loud gunshots ringing through the air here in Sydney. And that's when a number of ambulances started passing by where I am standing, and a number of police cars, and the situation had been...
And welcome to the Bill Show, and it is our Christmas show, but not
a Merry Christmas.
Not a Merry Christmas, anyway.
And hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Randall Berger.
Hey, Randall.
Hi, Bill.
Glad you could come up.
Yeah, well, it's not a Merry Christmas. As you know, we were touched by terrorism here in Australia last week. Where we had, during a business day in the a mall in Sydney called Martin Place, the chap took over a cafe, the Lindt Cafe, run by the chocolate company, and held 19 people hostage for 16 hours. And in the end, three people died, including him, and four were injured. The terrorist, or we call him a terrorist because he was intending to strike terror, was a lone wolf. He was an Iranian self-appointed mullah.
He was a nut job.
He was a nut job.
He was just a nut job.
With
a
sawn-off shotgun and a chip on his shoulder.
He's a wannabe terrorist.
A wannabe. Right? He wannabe jihadist.
Yeah. But, of course, ISIS has gone around saying, you know, if
he's one of us,
if you're within the sound of our voice, go out and kill someone. And,
well, they were telling people to cut off Australians' heads in Martin Place. They actually mentioned Martin Place.
Yeah.
But we've had several arrests, several raids.
Yeah.
We've taken them in our stride. But, you know, I was kind of saddened because the manager of the cafe, it hasn't really come out yet, but Tory threw himself on the gunman, apparently was killed by the sawn-off shotgun.
That takes, you know, I mean, the more stories that you hear about this, the more I think that I'm so proud of the people of Sydney and where I've my adoptive home.
We're all immigrants.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Australia, we got a multicultural place.
Yeah, Lifeboat Australia.
We don't do this shit.
We take the dross of the world.
You know, that's right. They took me.
The Flotsam and Jetsam. I'm Flotsam and this here is Jetsam.
Yeah, that's right.
There are 500,000 Muslim refugees from Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, wherever, mainly in Western Sydney. Yeah. And this guy was one of them. Apparently, he's just
a loopy
crackpot
idiot.
Lone wolf.
Yeah, who should have been, by the way, followed a little bit more closely by the authorities. And
yeah, not allowed to get a hold of an illegal weapon. But anyway, I was quite proud of the way Australia behaved and responded.
This Facebook thing that you found.
Well, this actually was in America.
Yeah.
This was picked up in America on addictinginfo.org, which is one of my favorite.
Because I love that.
Australian native Jason Maggs took to Facebook during the terror siege, in fact, because it started in the morning and finished in the middle of the night. And he was going, he went on Facebook and he said, look, on the train home, the mood was different. People were not looking down at their phones. They were looking at each other, smiling, nodding. And I came to realize that terrorism will never work in Australia. We are not scared. We are not terrorized. We are gravely concerned about our brothers and sisters in that coffee shop. But you will not win. You will never be able to tear apart this nation. Why? Because we have a weapon stronger than yours, stronger than your religious beliefs, stronger than your hatred, stronger than your pathetic fear-mongering, stronger than your misguided violence, stronger than you. We are Australians, and we have a secret weapon that you will never have or understand, mateship. We are a nation of mates who will never be broken by the actions of a cowardice few. What I realized on my way home on that train was that your attempt to scare our nation has actually galvanized our mateship, and you failed. Now, mateship, I don't know, it's kind of a hard thing to describe, but because
it's a
we
very
started,
big ethos here.
Well, we started as all of us started as either convicts or refugees or migrants or something, even Bill and I. But it sort of puts everybody on this same level, and
it's
we
egalitarian society. Here.
But here's something else that came out of this before
what?
The siege was even over.
Yeah.
This actually happened in Melbourne, which, of course, is a distant place from Sydney, 1,000 kilometers. And somebody started this thing called hashtag I'll ride with you. What they did is they texted somebody and said, look, would you mind catching the train from Frankston to the city with my sister who's a Muslim and wears hijab? Because I'm afraid she may be antagonized by hostile people.
So you have basically Australians offering to ride with... And,
well, it spread like wildfire.
Yeah, you know, people who wear the hijab and say, or we're going to look after you.
Yeah,
just in case any crazies give you a hard time,
and,
you know what I'm saying?
And it's we circle our wagons around you, and it has
right.
There have now been several
instances. Take your loopy
instances.
Horse shit and go back home with it, because we don't like that shit.
There have been several instances where people have seen somebody being intimidated, and I meet many. I have a lot of Muslim students. I teach university, and I have a lot of Muslim students, and I have teacher colleagues from Malaysia, from the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, who wear the hijab or a burqa. And I have a lot of respect for them. And if I saw somebody having a go at them, we're not talking about sexism, we're talking about racism. And that's almost like double-barreled sexism when you're talking to a woman of faith who wears
a hijab.
Traditional dress.
Yeah,
traditional.
That's right.
So a lot of Australians have been going in to bat for these people.
And that's what we that's what you do. And you
it's
know, it's
gone around the
I've
world.
Seen that in America as well.
Well, remember the angels.
And I think
was it the angels on the subways?
Yeah,
about 15,
Guardian
20 years.
Angels.
Guardian
yeah.
angels. Same
for
thing.
The same thing. But the thing is that these people are doomed to fail. They are.
In this country, certainly.
What I don't want to see, and this is where I get kind of conspiracy minded, is that the Tony Abbott, who's the conservative idiot who's actually in charge now.
Our George Bush. Our own version of George Bush.
Yes, that's right. He's our revenge for making fun of George Bush, because then we got our version of George Bush. Now, what he wants to do is he wanted to enact terror laws here in Australia that means that basically you couldn't sue the government if they really... fucked you up during an investigation, or you could
just
have to hold on to your metadata for 2 years. Now, just about
just
the time that this wait a minute, just about this time of this terrorist thing, he's going to bring that in. He's going to bring it in, and that I think.
He was waiting for his moment.
Yeah,
you?
Well, that's it.
Obama noticed this hashtag "I'll ride with you" campaign.
Yeah,
and said, and actually came right out and said that is the most meaningful expression of a people in the face of terrorism that I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, we got good reviews
and
for Obama.
I mean, he likes it. He's been here a lot of times when he was a kid.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk terror laws with Obama, though.
Or torture
talk about
laws.
Busting civil rights.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah, but anyway, I would like to... But then again, he's come out for Cuba. We've got to talk about that later,
too. We should mention Cuba. Hey, what about the Cuban thing, Randy?
Yeah, what about the Cuban thing?
Fifty years
of a failed policy.
That's right.
And he came out... I mean, even Bill Clinton used
to smoke
Cuban cigars.
Really, it was a policy that didn't work at the end of The Godfather. It's just like this idea of if we stand in a corner, plug our ears, and go nah, and convince everybody that you don't exist, you don't exist.
And the best thing that people can do, talk about the mouse that roared, is to lose a battle or to lose something to America, because everybody comes to help you. I mean, look at Japan and Germany, the miracles of the 20th, early 21st century, because they lost the war. Cuba, I think, even though it's only trade and diplomatic relations
which have changed,
enough, I think, to make people
do you see
to heal.
Do you see Marco Rubio?
Yes, Marco Rubio.
Had puppies.
And Ted Cruz.
What did
and
say?
Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, the other Cubano in the Senate. Both of these guys came out because they're scared to death.
Did you ever
absolutely shitting themselves that Obama is going to now... that Florida is going to turn into a blue state.
Yeah, it's going to turn blue. But did you ever see, like, after the election, the midterms, right?
Yeah.
Obama has just done thing after thing to drive them fucking insane!
But the thing is they're good things. They're good things, and they're things he can do. And
fuck you, I'm doing it.
He can do. And he's come out, he's gone on Colbert, he's gone on telly. He's come out and he's made speeches, and he's made executive decisions, as a president should. And he's not taking shit from them anymore.
But you know, the basic
thing... He says, you don't like it, pass a law.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll sign it.
Yeah.
You don't like what I'm doing, pass a law.
But the thing about Obama is that of all the things that I do criticize about Obama, that he's an opportunist, that he's a liar, that he's a front man for corporations, all those things.
Yeah.
He's
holding it together.
He's not stupid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the Cuban policy was stupid. You know, not dealing with climate change.
Well, it started with Eisenhower, didn't it?
Yeah, huh?
It started with Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the embargo has been up since...
Hasn't worked.
Just before Kennedy was inaugurated.
Yeah.
And in fact, Bay of Pigs, which happened a few months later, was actually a CIA operation signed off by Eisenhower. So, I mean, that's how long this has been going on.
Now, you know what else happened while we were on hiatus?
It's
2 weeks. We got to change the name of the show because this politics is weak. We don't have a chance to get together every week.
Yeah.
And so it's like show, every other week, you know?
The fortnight in politics sounds a bit...
Weird.
Stupid.
I was going to say weird.
Do Americans use the word fortnight?
I don't think they do.
No, it's 2 weeks.
Every two weeks, politics.
Yeah, weeks every 2 weeks.
In the 2 weeks that we've been away, evidently, my favorite word, Dianne Feinstein had a list of shit that Dick Cheney was up to when he was,
Dick.
Not torturing. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So this is, can I play it just a bit? This is Dianne Feinstein describing all the good things that Uncle Dick was up
to. Huh? She related to Harvey Weinstein.
Not related to
He got a drink.
Diane, you go and speak. I'm shy.
I can't talk, I can't talk to you, Diane.
This is actually very, very disturbing because it basically lists the real cold-blooded shit that, by the way, us liberals, we've been talking about this for a very long time.
Yeah.
But Dianne Feinstein finally made a list of all the things the CIA had been up to under the Bush administration.
And even though it was redacted, it still makes incredible reading.
Here's Dianne.
CIA detainees were absolutely brutal, far worse than the CIA represented them to policymakers and others. Beginning with the first detainee, Abu Zubaydah, and continuing with numerous others, the CIA applied its so-called enhanced interrogation techniques in combination and in near-stop fashion for days and even weeks at a time on one detainee. In contrast to CIA representations, detainees were subjected to the most aggressive techniques immediately, stripped naked, diapered, physically struck, and put in various painful stress positions for long periods of time. They were deprived of sleep for days, in one case up to 180 hours, that's 7.5 days over a week with no sleep, usually standing or in stress positions, at times with their hands tied together over their heads, chained to the ceiling. The use of coercive technique methods regularly resulted in fabricated information. Sometimes the CIA actually knew detainees were lying. Other times, the CIA acted on false information, diverting resources and leading officers or contractors to falsely believe they were acquiring unique or actionable intelligence and that its interrogations were working when they were not. Internally, CIA officers often called into question the effectiveness of the CIA's interrogation techniques.
So basically, the CIA was torturing people really badly. And even after they were told, or they started saying, this isn't even working, They kept doing it.
So they were torturing them badly, meaning they weren't doing the torture well, or they were doing bad things.
They were doing, they were, here's a tube. They would puree the guy's dinner and just basically feed it to him.
Rectal hydration.
Rectal hydration.
Yeah.
They would beat him. They would threaten or have people standing up in pressure positions for like 7 days without sleep. This is fucking torture. That's all it is. It's fucking torture.
Yeah.
And the thing that's offended me to the point in which I am about to scream is the fact that the people who actually did this, who should go to fucking jail.
Who authorized it, yes.
I'm talking about Cheney. Cheney's a fucking war criminal.
Yeah?
He's a war criminal, and so's Bush. They're both fucking war criminals. First of all, for the 100,000 people that they killed in Iraq, for no fucking apparent reason. And then second of all, what happened in Abu Ghraib and what is shown to see in this torture report. And the most offensive thing is what Dick Cheney said afterward. And I have a bit of this. Hold on for this. This is Dick Cheney. Talking about the torture report.
Brett, I guess partly what really bugs me as I watch all this process unfold is the men and women of the CIA did exactly what we wanted to have them do in terms of taking on this program. We said, we've got to go use enhanced techniques if we're going to find out. And we've got Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's the mastermind of 9/11, who has killed 3,000 Americans, taken down the World Trade Center, hit the Pentagon, would have taken out the White House or the Capitol building if, in fact, they hadn't been for the passengers on United 93. Now, he is... in our possession. We know he's the architect. And what are we supposed to do? Kiss him on both cheeks and say, please, please, tell us what you know. Of course not. We did exactly what needed to be done in order to catch those who were guilty on 9/11 and to prevent a further attack. And we were successful on both parts.
This
and
report says it was not successful.
The report's full of crap, excuse me. I said, who yesterday? Let me, who's the real
one?
It's okay. You can believe it.
Yes, that's right, Randy. The Penguin. Dick Cheney says that basically the people we should feel sorry for are the CIA.
Yeah, we should feel sorry for them.
Jeepers.
They had to do this.
You have not even considered
their
feelings.
They had to change the diapers. Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, they go about torturing people, and the thank you they get, not even a card.
Yeah.
Jesus, what an asshole. I'm sorry, it's like fucking... You know, there are very few things I purely hate.
And one of them is Dick Cheney?
Dick Cheney's
How
one
did
of
I
them.
Know that?
Because he's... You know, Dick Cheney was the good German.
Yeah, the Dick.
Dick Cheney, he reminds me of Eichmann. He really is. He's
Eichmann.
Just an absolute scuzzbag.
You think?
Totally. Totally.
I would have thought he was a bit more like your Hermann Göring.
Oh, very dangerous guy. But you know what? You know what? The thing that's actually been kind of that I've found to be is the fact that America can admit to doing all this torturing, Randy.
Yeah.
But they still manage to be arrogant about it.
Well, most of the general public, 99% of Americans said, "Well, we knew what was going on.
I know.
We don't give a fuck.
That's it." 51% in the Wall Street Journal. It was a Wall Street Journal poll. NBC, Wall Street Journal, you know, like Murdoch, you know, yeah. But
Grain of salt poll, yes.
Unfortunately, still, I think a lot more people care about it than that. But you're getting the feeling like, yeah, okay, no worries.
Yeah, well,
you know, kind of fucking
come on,
torture
they
somebody.
Knew that was going on.
Yeah.
You know, waterboarding, which was the main... technique, apart from your rectal hydration, is actually quite old. What was called the Spanish water torture during the Inquisition.
Mm.
America really only started using it during World War II.
And the interesting is America held people responsible for war crimes in Southeast Asia. At the end of World War II, Japanese who did waterboarding on American prisoners were considered war criminals.
Yeah.
Oh, hypocrisy much?
Oh, yeah. Well, they learned from the best. They learned from the best.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You don't think they got rid of all the research from the death camps?
But the thing is, the United States does torture.
Yeah.
It has tortured frequently in its past.
Yeah.
I mean, what was done to the Indians alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, we have a rather nasty habit of either torturing ourselves or, you know, training other people how to torture. You know, if you look at the Iranian... under the Shah, the Iranian secret police learned their torture methods from...
America.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the Russians. I mean, everybody, they used to trade their torture or interrogation secrets.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, but sensory deprivation, all that sort of stuff, that's been going on for so long. And also truth drugs. I mean, what happened to that? Uh-huh. Just give them a shot and they'll tell you the truth. Where did that go?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Why do we use that? I mean, do they really want to use torture as a punishment, or are they really using it as an interrogation
technique? What's utterly terrifying about this report is that sick, twisted fucks like Cheney pushed for torture even after they knew they weren't getting any viable information from it.
Yeah.
That's just there's a real tinge to this report that is fucking sick. I mean, it's just really fucking sick.
It's perverted.
It just really is. There's a tone. There's something that these guys were tortured for no reason.
No, I think they were tortured for the gratification of Cheney.
Of the torturers, yeah.
Yeah, of Cheney and Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
And I think even Condoleezza Rice. You think the head of the NSA didn't know this was going on?
I think that they did. Yeah. But I just...
And maybe that's also why Colin Powell quit.
Well, yeah, I mean who are you sitting down with?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are American fascists.
He finally said, I just cannot stand this anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I mean, the thing is with the thing I wanted to mention was that I grabbed this bite from the ACLU, and the ACLU had some guy. American Civil Liberties Union had this guy talking about, believe it or not, that way Americans have of patting themselves on the back, even when they've been caught doing really bad shit.
Of course.
Here's the ACLU guy.
I think what's great about America, what's great about the American system and the American people, that we had the courage to look ourselves in the face, and we had the courage to talk about what happened, and to debate what happened, and to challenge our government on what happened, and demand more transparency of what happened. And that's what makes America great. Unfortunately, many countries around the world, even democracies around the world, don't have that privilege. And I think, I hope that people around the world look into this and they realize that America is always that shining city on the hill.
Mom, I caught Uncle Sam in the bathroom. He was jerking off again.
Oh, no, not again, dear.
Oh, he's going to go blind.
Go blind. He's got hairy palms.
I love that idea that basically, hey, you know something? Yeah, we did torture a lot of people, but at least we talk about it. Has anyone gone to jail? No, but we talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about sending them to jail, so...
Yeah, at least we can talk about it.
I'm sorry. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I know...
We're still everybody's got their city on a hill.
Everybody's got their secrets. We've got the Australian Secrets Directorate, ASIO it's called.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the defense force. I'm sure that this sort of stuff goes on.
Let me tell you, you and I have been living overseas for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And that quality of arrogance
that Americans have.
That Americans have, well, at least official America does, that just basically is like, they're the, oh, man, we can lecture everybody on civil rights.
Yes.
We can do that all the time, even when we're shown to be lying fucks.
Willie, look at the other side of that argument.
You know,
Americans tend to say, if you criticize America, even if you don't agree with what they're doing, do not criticize America, because that makes you un-American.
No.
Now, that's what they say. And I
Who's
cannot.
They? Who are these people? Oh, you mean the conservatives?
The conservatives. But the thing is a lot of other people say will not criticize the government because they don't want to be branded by the conservatives as being un-American.
And this
it's
is
back
what,
to the 50s.
This is what offends me about that entire idea.
You know, here we take a shot at Australia when we don't like what they do.
America is not a fucking flag at fucking 4th of July. America is the Constitution. America is the Declaration of Independence. America is the Bill of Rights.
Yes, that's as America.
That's America. And
it's not the Ten Commandments. And it's not the New and the Old Testament.
No, but I'm just saying is that the ideas behind America, when you look at this kind of torture stuff, and the thing is that we lectured other countries continually. Why can't you have human rights like we do? And we do the same shit. And I mean, the arrogance that America comes at it with, even when they're apologizing, that, you know, like they're fucking patting themselves on the fucking back.
And they got their fingers crossed behind their back, too, yeah.
How do you get to do that, America? Yeah. Okay, man, you fucked up. Just say you fucked up. Yeah. None of this shining city on a fucking hill, okay?
Yeah,
just
calm down. I love that shining city comment.
Oh,
yeah, that's
God,
terrific.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe I've just been.
We need to laugh.
Yes, we do need to laugh, Randall. And you know what makes me laugh? Help me out here. That's what I'm doing a segue.
Well, I tried to make you laugh before and it didn't work.
Yeah, so. But you know what makes me laugh?
Comedy.
Yeah, how about Team America World
Timing.
Police?
Yeah, that was good.
The timing, yes.
Secret of my comic success. Look, Bill, yeah. I know what makes you laugh. Irony. You love irony.
I love some good irony.
Good irony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Standing there ironing while you're watching the television.
Give me some irony.
Yeah. Well, I like irony, but Team America, the team of you know, our friends from South Park, you know, Troy and
Troy Parker it's not like we know them.
Yeah, they're not our they're not our friends.
We don't even like them a lot.
You know, they started out making an animated Christmas card.
Yeah,
Jesus versus Santa Claus. Have you ever seen that? It's very
Jesus
funny.
Versus Santa.
They were asked to do a animated Christmas card for a firm or something.
Yeah.
So they did this Santa versus Jesus fight, and of course it was the cutout paper South Park technique.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it became very famous, and I think it's still up on YouTube.
Yeah.
But that's how South Park as a technique and animation technique was born, Santa versus Jesus.
You're just a font of information.
I'm Trivial Pursuit personified. I chase myself everywhere.
Listen, we're going to go to a cut now. It's a kind of intro.
Matt Stone.
Yeah, Matt Stone, that's it. We're going to do a couple of cuts here and then come back and talk a little bit about the strange things happening in Hollywood right now and North Korea. Who knew?
They were so close.
We'll be back in but a moment.
I'm so lonely, so lonely. So lonely and sad, real alone. There's no one, just me only, sitting on my little throne. I work very hard and make up great plans, but nobody listens, no one understands. Seems like no one takes me seriously. And so I'm lonely, a little lonely, poor little me. There's nobody I can relate to, feel like a bird in a cage. It's kind of scary, but not really, because it's filling my body with rage. I'm the smartest, most clever, most physically fit, but nobody else seems to realize it. When I change the world, maybe they'll notice me. And until then, I'll just be lonely. Yeah, riddle lonely.
You know, people say that actors lie for a living, but this is living a lie.
Okay, Rob, when you're ready.
Get ready, camera two.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
Whoa.
His head looks like somebody's taint.
You barely look different. Thanks, man.
Come on. We've been together for 1,000 episodes.
Congratulations on 1,000 hours of being a massive sellout.
What do you mean?
Guys, guys, some pictures just came out where it looks like McConaughey's fucking a goat.
Ooh.
McConaughey goat fuck?
McConaughey goat fuck.
Get him, get the goat! Get the goat!
Got some questions for that goat.
Every night, millions of people watch our show.
I just want to cover actual news, not Nicki Minaj's vagina fucking flopping out at the Grammys.
You don't like that brown sugar?
It has nothing to do with brown sugar.
Aaron, look at this.
Kim Jong-un wants to do an interview with Dave Skylark?
He's a fan. Look at this butt fuck. If that ain't a real story, what is?
Okay, let's fucking do it.
We're going to North Korea!
Mr. Rappaport, I am Agent Lacey with Central Intelligence.
Yo, Aaron! Woo. Yo, I don't know who I fucked last night, but I got some stink dick!
Dave, it's actually...
Yo, Aaron, does your dick stink? So weird how you, like, just want to keep smelling it, though.
Dave, the CIA is here!
You two are going to be in a room alone with Kim.
We got the interview!
The CIA would love it if you could take him out.
Hmm?
Take him out.
Like for drinks?
Like to dinner?
Take him out in the town?
No, take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What? Freedom!
Hello, North Korea!
We might die, but we'd be total dickheads if we didn't do this.
No, no. I've had a great life. I had the best friend. Fuck more women than Ellen DeGeneres.
Kim must die.
That's the American way.
Is this what you want? You like it?
You have to secure the payload.
What do I do with it? What do I do with it?
There are people coming.
Where the fuck do I hide it?
What if you hide it in your butt?
I don't want to stick it in my ass.
You gotta put it in your butt right now.
It's a little big to stick up my ass.
They are closing in on you.
The package is secure.
That?
Yes.
Oh.
Fucking weapon of ass destruction.
You got fucked by RoboCop, dude.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the sort of red trailer of The Interview, the movie that Kim Jong-un did not
you know
want
what's
you
really
to see
terrible?
From the little... Kingdom.
I want to see this movie.
Oh, I want to see,
I want to fucking see
I
this movie.
I see it now. And that was just the trailer.
That was funny.
But look, the kingdom of Shangri-Looney is just North Korea is just. I can't believe that they would do
they
this.
Just,
they don't just.
They've gone nuts, man.
Yeah, they've gone nuts.
They've gone nuts.
They cyber attack the West.
And you think about the fact is, like, Randall, you know, how sad is that? You know, I mean, Seth Rogen, really? That's what gets you so pissed off that you would, you know, like, look, contemplate an act of war?
James Bond.
I mean, really? That's it? And Seth Rogen sticking
Team America
up
World Police.
Fuck.
Which criticized his father and was just puppets and things. They went batshit crazy over that.
Yeah.
So they, because in this one, is actually a real life movie with a guy that kind of looks a bit like.
Yeah, but there was a Canadian...
Barry Bubblehead.
Look, you know, there was a Canadian film called The Assassination of George Bush that went out.
I remember that.
Now, I'm sure Americans weren't really... You know, by the way, I dislike George Bush. He should be in jail. That's as far as I go with that. But this guy actually made a film about somebody shooting or trying to shoot George Bush. And you know something? He didn't go to jail for it. But... You make fun of Kim Jong-il or do any of this shit?
Un, the son.
Yeah. You know what I reckon we should do?
Yeah.
Is I think we should just devote enough national debt to the formation of a production company that will only make funny movies with Seth Rogen that offend you. Yeah. That's all we're going to do.
Absolutely.
Every comic in Hollywood.
But the point is what they did, they have a huge resources that... hacked the West, and they've hacked Australia.
Yeah.
They've hacked a lot of places to get plans for embassies and all that kind of stuff. In this case, they devoted their enormous hacking power to take out Sony Pictures.
Yeah.
And who was going to distribute this film.
And
they released personal emails of all the staff and stars
yeah.
for Sony Pictures. And now Sony were still going to release the film, but then... South Korea on top of the hack. North Korea on top of the hack threatened to actually bomb the cinemas. You know,
No. They don't.
That's what they actually.
North
came
Korea at, is still denying it.
But North Korea, North Korea, or the people who hacked, threatened to bomb the cinemas. So it's the distributors that pulled the film.
Yeah, that's right.
Not Sony Pictures.
Not Sony. But I, you know, if Sony wanted it, you know, I have a feeling that everybody's kind of like that, and that's what George Clooney.
Yeah.
There was a report about what George Clooney said, and he's organizing stars and stuff.
Yeah.
And he had this, and I got this clip from.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with him. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's listen to the clip and hold on for a minute. Here it is.
Yeah.
Sony may be losing millions when it shelves The Interview. It's been a goldmine for late night comics.
Big story. Sony Pictures has officially canceled the release of The Interview due to continued threats from hackers. Yeah, which means the hackers have accomplished their goal of making everyone in the world want to see The Interview. I mean, I wasn't planning now. I can't wait to see it. I'm like, what is it?
For George Clooney, though, this is certainly no laughing matter. He's got a message for Sony, and it's an angry one. He says, quote, stick it online. Do whatever you can to get this movie out. Not because everybody has to see the movie, but because I'm not going to be told we can't see the movie. That's the most important part. We cannot be told we can't see something by Kim Jong-un of all the effing people. CNN correspondent Samuel Burke is following this story, and his letter goes on, and it gets even better.
Well, what's even scarier is the fact that George Clooney says that he sent out a petition across Hollywood, he and his agent, to many stars, to many studios, and not one person signed it, Carol. He says that people are afraid. They don't want to be seen as supporting someone who made inappropriate remarks about Obama on the one hand. And then they're also afraid of what they have in their own emails and that they might be hacked. So that's a major problem.
So they're putting themselves before country, in other words.
In one respect, that's absolutely right. And don't...
George Clooney. George Clooney. I like George.
Yeah, but the point is that do not be intimidated by them. Obama came out and says, not be intimidated by these attacks. We will retaliate at a time of our choosing, in a way of our choosing. But, you know, they also released several other films that were on Sony's hard drives, as it were, Annie and several things
like
that.
Yeah, I know, and that's really destructive.
It is.
I just think that that's, if you look at the people who, if you're going to be, you can't be intimidated. Once you show your intimidation to something like that, this is what they do. I mean, Kim Jong-un is an evil guy.
Yeah.
He is. The country is a vast wasteland.
Yeah.
And
people are starving to death.
And people are starving to death.
Eating each other, whatever.
Yeah.
They just don't. But the point is none of them have access to the internet. So who's going to know anyway?
If you go over North Korea at night, you look at the lights of the world, and the one place where there's no lights, it's dark. North Korea.
But you know, it's the satellites that find out the most awful things about North Korea, and the squalor, and there are no graves being dug because they're kind of recycling the people.
Soil and green. From every report from anyone who's ever lived there, it's a very controlled and terrifying place to live. So Kim. Fuck you, Pugsley.
Yeah, fuck you.
go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh, Pugsley died last week, by the way.
Yeah, no, he's Pugsley.
Yeah, okay. Resurrected. Okay, yes. He's going to be Ronery for a wrong time. For a wrong time.
Yeah, I know. Because basically, I wish that, the movie theaters would play it. But put it out online. Put it out for free. Don't let the, it's freedom of speech, man.
Can I just say something?
That's the one thing that we have in America.
You are a conspiracy theorist. A lot of people are saying this is not North Korea. Like the Apple hack that released naked pictures of things, the conspiracy theorists think it's being done by the American NSA in order to make Americans come out and support more tighter controls on the internet. So they hack, you see what I mean? They hack things to create a problem, and then they come in and say we're the solution.
Yeah, but the regulation that they're talking about in regulation of the internet,
yeah,
is about throttling. It's about speeds.
It's about access.
It's about access, yeah, but it's about certain sites slowing down and stuff like that.
But this was mentioned on something you played earlier.
It
could be coming out of the NSA.
I don't think so.
All right. I'm sure they would like to see.
Maybe.
The Sony said that the CIA actually supported the film and helped them with information.
Really?
For the interview.
So, okay.
Yeah, because they actually, the CIA in it, get in with Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Yeah.
And get them to go and
so this whole
assassinate
thing's a,
this Kim Jong-un.
This whole thing's a master plan by the CIA.
Well, no. They are actually invited to interview him.
Yeah.
You know, like he invites that basketball player and all that other stuff to go there.
Yeah.
But they get to these two jerks and say, look, while you're there, would you mind taking him out?
But are you saying that the entire release of this film is some sort of CIA conspiracy?
The release of the film isn't a conspiracy. The hack of Sony, they think, was carried out by the National Security Agency in order to...
Blame North Korea.
Yeah, to blame North Korea.
Yeah.
And also to infuriate the people and say, well, look, we can't be responsible for our own actions. Therefore, we think you should control the internet.
That's an interesting take that I'm not really prepared to go all the way. Do I think it's not possible? I don't know. I'm not saying one thing, but, if I was suspicious...
Oh, don't be mensch on a bench, please.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Yeah. There's one other thing we wanted to talk about during this moment in time.
Oh, that's your friend from your home state.
Liz Warren.
Liz Warren.
The senator.
Yeah.
From Massachusetts.
The senator from Massachusetts who was elected over an incumbent who said... made racist
Brown.
Comments about her... her indigenous heritage.
Indian, actually. Yeah. So it's like Liz Warren has become for me, I think for everybody.
You've changed your spots, Mr. Leppard.
I got a thing for her.
You
now.
Certainly do, because before you didn't. And
I wasn't crazy about where she stood on the Gaza question. I thought her position during the Gaza invasion by Israel.
The stars aren't all going to align all the time.
But
you're seeing the wisdom in her possibly being a candidate for the Democratic nomination,
or at least pushing Hillary. You're not going to get changed with Hillary.
What about a Clinton Warren ticket?
I'm sure that'd
two
be something
women.
That they would consider. Yeah,
that would be incredible, unstoppable.
No, because I don't look. Hillary's so much in the pocket. The thing that's making Warren really really interesting a candidate is she's actively attacking some of the largest financiers of politics right now. And she's making stands against fucking Citigroup. And that takes some fucking balls.
Yeah.
I respect the shit out of that. Well, yeah, the truth is that Liz Warren is quite conservative.
How is the speech built when it was raised? This speech was billed as, this is the speech that could elect Elizabeth Warren president of the United States.
I don't know if you've heard it, but this is the situation. Basically, what they've done recently with the legislation that was attached to a budget measure had millions of had so many of these loopholes. And for example, the Bush tax cuts, they're permanent now. They're never going away. Okay? But one of the things that Liz Warren, while she was talking about that, was how much influence Citigroup had within previous administrations, both Republican and Democrat, and the real power behind Washington. That's what she's talking about here. I think it's one of the most articulate speeches, and I think it's a defining moment. I think she might be a candidate.
Yeah.
So as a public service, ladies and gentlemen, the senator from Massachusetts, Liz Warren.
Mr. President.
The senator from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you for yielding the senior senator from Maryland and the senior senator from Vermont. You both show extraordinary leadership, and we learn from you every day. Mr. President, I'm back on the floor to talk about a dangerous provision that was slipped into a must-pass spending bill at the last minute solely to benefit Wall Street. This provision would repeal a rule called, and I'm going to quote the title of the rule, Prohibition Against Federal Government Bailouts of Swaps Entities. On Wednesday, I came to the floor to talk to Democrats, asking them to strip this provision out of the omnibus bill and protect taxpayers. On Thursday, I came to the floor to talk to Republicans. Republicans say they don't like bailouts either, so I asked them to vote the way they talk. If they don't like bailouts, then they could take out this provision that puts taxpayers right back on the hook for bailing out big banks. Today, I'm coming to the floor not to talk about Democrats or Republicans, but to talk about a third group that also wields tremendous power in Washington, Citigroup. Mr. President, in recent years, many Wall Street institutions have exerted extraordinary influence in Washington's corridors of power. Citigroup has risen above the others. Its grip over economic policy making in the executive branch is unprecedented. Consider just a few examples. Three of the last four Treasury secretaries under Democratic presidents have had close Citigroup ties. The fourth was offered the CEO position at Citigroup, but turned it down. The vice chair of the Federal Reserve System is a Citigroup alum. The undersecretary for international affairs at Treasury is a Citigroup alum. The U.S. trade representative and the person nominated to be his deputy, who is currently an assistant secretary at Treasury, are Citigroup alums. A recent chairman of the National Economic Council at the White House was a Citigroup alum. Another recent chairman of the Office of Management and Budget went to Citigroup immediately after leaving the White House. And another recent chairman of the Office of Management and Budget is also a Citi alum, but I'm double counting here because he's now the Secretary of the Treasury. Now, that's a lot of powerful people, all from one bank, but they aren't the only way that Citigroup exercises power. Over the years, the company has spent millions of dollars on lobbying Congress and funding the political campaigns of its friends in the House and Senate. Citigroup has also spent millions trying to influence the political process in ways that are far more subtle and hidden from public view. Last year, I wrote Citigroup and other big banks asking them to disclose the amount of shareholder money that they have been diverting to think tanks to influence public policy. Citigroup's response to my letter, stonewalling. A year has gone by, and Citigroup didn't even acknowledge receiving my letter. Citigroup has a lot of money. It spends a lot of money, and it uses that money to grow and consolidate power, and it pays off. Consider a couple of facts. Fact one, during the financial crisis, when all the support through TARP and from the FDIC and the Fed is added up, Citi received nearly $500 billion in bailouts. That's half a trillion with a T. That's almost $140 billion more than the next biggest bank got. Fact two, during Dodd-Frank, there was an amendment introduced by my colleagues, Senator Brown and Senator Kaufman, that would have broken up Citigroup and the other largest banks. Now, that amendment had bipartisan support, and it might have passed, but it ran into powerful opposition from an alliance between Wall Streeters on Wall Street and Wall Streeters who held powerful government jobs. They teamed up and they blocked the move to break up the banks. And now Citi is larger than ever. The role that senior officials played from the Treasury Department played in killing the amendment wasn't subtle. A senior Treasury official acknowledged it at the time in a background interview with New York Magazine. The official from Treasury said, and I'm going to quote here, "If we'd been for it, it probably would have happened. But we weren't, so it didn't." That's power. Mr. President, Democrats don't like Wall Street bailouts. Republicans don't like Wall Street bailouts. The American people are disgusted by Wall Street bailouts. And yet, here we are, 5 years after Dodd-Frank, with Congress on the verge of ramming through a provision that would do nothing for the middle class, do nothing for community banks, do nothing but raise the risk that taxpayers will have to bail out the biggest banks once again. You know, there's a lot of talk lately about how Dodd-Frank isn't perfect. There's a lot of talk coming from Citigroup about how Dodd-Frank isn't perfect. So let me say this to anyone who is listening at Citi. I agree with you. Dodd-Frank isn't perfect. It should have broken you into pieces. If this Congress is going to open up Dodd-Frank in the months ahead, then let's open it up to get tougher, not to create more bailout opportunities. If we're going to open up Dodd-Frank, let's open it up so that once and for all, we end too big to fail. And I mean really end it, not just say that we did. Instead of passing laws that create new bailout opportunities for too big to fail banks, let's pass Brown-Kaufman. Let's pass the bipartisan 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act, a bill I've proposed with John McCain, with Angus King, and Maria Cantwell. Let's pass something, anything, that would help break up these giant banks. A century ago, Teddy Roosevelt was America's trust buster. He went after the giant trusts and monopolies in this country. And a lot of people talk about how those trusts deserve to be broken up because they had too much economic power. But Teddy Roosevelt said, we should break them up because they had too much political power. Teddy Roosevelt said, break them up because all that concentrated power threatens the very foundations of our democratic system. And now we're watching as Congress passes yet another provision that was written by lobbyists for the biggest recipient of bailout money in the history of this country. And it's attached to a bill that needs to pass, or else the entire federal government will grind to a halt. Think about that kind of power. If a financial institution has become so big and so powerful that it can hold the entire country hostage, that alone is reason enough to break them up. Enough is enough. Enough is enough with Wall Street insiders getting key position after key position and the kind of cronyism that we have seen in the executive branch. Enough is enough with Citigroup passing 11th-hour deregulatory provisions that nobody takes ownership over, but everybody will come to regret. Enough is enough. Washington already works really well for the billionaires and the big corporations and the lawyers and the lobbyists. But what about the families who lost their homes or their jobs or their retirement savings the last time Citi bet big on derivatives and lost? What about the families who are living paycheck to paycheck and saw their tax dollars go to bail out Citi just 6 years ago? We were sent here to fight for those families. It is time, it is past time for Washington to start working for them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Stop me before I fall in love again, Randall. Stop me before I fall in love again, Randall.
You do like that. You do like her, don't you?
I think that she is going to possibly be the Democratic Party nominee.
Well, I hope so.
For president of the United States. Because I think that Hillary better watch out.
Yeah.
she better watch out really hard. Because I'll tell you something, man. She is articulate. She's smart. And she
doesn't take shit from people.
No, but she's also pointing out something that that's what the banks live in dread of.
Yeah.
They live in dread of an articulate, smart, I'm sorry, Democrat to come out and
call them out
and basically be a real liberal. Because as much as we like to say good things about Barack Obama, he's not a liberal, guys.
No,
he's not. He's a Republican. He's a middle of the road Republican. I mean, what he's done with civil rights and what he's done with the drone program is a Republican thing. There are incredible gaps in the Obama legacy, and people say, "Oh, Obama's a liberal." He's not a liberal. Warren is a liberal.
Yeah,
but it's interesting because Liz Warren is liberal on this, but then you look at her policies on, say, Gaza. We are totally different on. But the number one thing that
you're
America,
not going to get them all lining up. I told you that. Okay, can I quote
sure.
another president?
Go.
This is a president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I love
1933 to 1945. Yeah, yeah. He said this: "We had to struggle with the old enemies of peace.
Yes.
Business and financial monopoly, speculation, reckless banking, class antagonism, sectionalism, and war profiteering."
Yep.
"They'd begun to consider the government of the United States as a mere appendage of their own affairs. Mm. We know now that government by organized money is just as dangerous as government by organized mob." I should have used my FDR voice. "Government by organized mob."
"And I welcome their hatred.
We had to struggle with the old enemies of peace." Anyways,
it's absolutely true. You know something?
It's what she's saying as well.
It's the same fuckers, man. Really, the thing about the conservatives is that they never fucking forget. They if you talk to old style conservatives, man, they hate FDR. FDR, everything that FDR represented was un-American. And they have never stopped wanting to get rid of Social Security, to get rid of any vestige of the New Deal. This is what they're about.
Yep.
They're about nothing else but that,
I think Eisenhower came out and said the same thing, even though he was the one who sort of helped to foster the military-industrial complex. He still said, you cannot have the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
You cannot have America run by vested interests.
And what you have right about now, really, seriously, and I've been doing this show for, with Bill and then with you.
Yeah.
And that means you start reading, not just lefty stuff, but just news. And I'm telling you, man, if you look at the where America's gone since 9/11, it's right down fascism freeway. It's just down fascism freeway, and I'm not talking about.
But people give up their rights out of fear.
Yeah,
it's the same as they did in Germany.
I'm talking about Mussolini's classic definition of fascism being is that when business and government, private industry and government, there's no difference.
Yeah. But people gave up their rights in Germany in the late 30s because they were afraid. People gave up their rights under any fascist regime. They'll give up their civil rights out of fear.
Yeah, yeah. I think that if you look at somebody like Liz Warren, who's really advocating something that Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, advocated, which is basically just a matter of the government can, if a certain segment of your population has so much power that they can shut you down, you're not in charge anymore.
Yeah, you have to shut them
down. Seriously. And with the corruption that's gone on in Washington right now, she's absolutely dead on right.
Yeah, Bill, but the banks are too big to fail. Wasn't that, who was it that said that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Too big to fail, so they had to prop them up.
They did. Anyway, listen, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, a break.
And then we're going to come back with some classic Christmas tinfoil hats just for all you people out there.
Okay.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Jewish, Kyle?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, Jewish people don't celebrate Christmas.
What?
You're supposed to sing Hanukkah songs. Dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. That's a stupid song.
Yeah, Hanukkah sucks.
Don't you oppress me, fat boy.
Don't call me fat, buttfucker.
Then don't belittle my people, you fucking fat ass.
Ah, damn it, don't call me fat, you buttfucking son of a bitch.
What the?
Behold my glory.
Holy shit, it's Jesus!
What are you doing in South Park, Jesus?
I come seeking retribution.
He's come to kill you because you're Jewish, Kyle.
Oh, fuck! I'm sorry, Jesus! Don't kill me!
Nay, fear not. I love all my children.
Whew.
Tomorrow is my birthday, yet all is not right.
Your birthday is on Christmas? That sucks, dude!
I must find a place called... the mall.
Well, we can take you to the mall, Jesus.
Yeah, it's over this way.
God damn it, you stepped on my foot, you pig fucker.
Dude, don't say pig fucker in front of Jesus.
Ah, fuck you.
Here we are, Jesus. South Park Mall. Who are you looking for?
Him. Ho, ho, ho. We meet again, Jesus.
You have blemished the meaning of Christmas for the last time, Kringle.
I bring happiness and love to children all over the world.
Christmas is for celebrating my birth.
Christmas is for giving.
I'm here to put an end to your blasphemy.
This time we finish it. There can be only one.
Dude, this is pretty fucked up right here. Go, Santa! Go, Jesus!
Zhang Quan Do!
Yuk Tuki!
Oh my god! They killed Kenny!
Come on, you son of a bitch! Come on!
Boys. Help me put an end to him once and for all.
No, boys. Help me so that I can put an end to him.
God is watching you, boys. You know who to help.
Stan, remember the choo-choo when you were three?
I died for your sins, boys. Don't forget that.
I don't know what to do, dude. Who should we help?
I say we help Santa Claus.
You're just saying that because he brings you candy.
Hey, I don't need to take that kind of shit from a Jew.
You're such a fat fuck, Cartman, that when you walk down the street, people go, God! Damn it, that is a big fat fuck!
Oh, yeah? Well, listen,
shut up! I'm not a little bitch! Don't fuck you, motherfucker! Fuck you!
Wait, just a second. Now, we've got to think here. Now, let's see. What would Brian Boitano do?
Yeah, what would Brian Boitano do?
Did someone say my name?
Brian Boitano! What incredible irony!
Hey, it's Brian Boitano!
What's going on, kids?
Okay, Brian... who would you help in a fight, Jesus or Santa Claus?
Kids, you shouldn't think of things like that. This is the one time a year in which we all try to get along. No matter what we believe in, this is the season just to be good to each other. Bye.
No,
you fucking pussy!
Come here.
Hey, Jesus!
You have to understand that Santa is keeping the spirit of your birthday alive by bringing happiness and joy.
Yeah, and Santa, you need to remember that if it weren't for Jesus... this day wouldn't even exist.
You're right, kids. I'm sorry, Jesus.
No. It's me who should be sorry. I've been a right bastard. I'm sorry, Kringle.
Thank you, boys.
Yeah, thank you, boys. Come on, Kringle. I'll buy an orange smoothie.
Ooh. Phew. That sucked.
Yeah, but just think. Today we actually met, we actually spoke to the Brian Boitano.
Yeah, and you know... I think I learned something today. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or Jewish or atheist or Hindu.
Christmas still is about one very important thing.
Yeah, ham.
No, not ham, you fat fuck!
Fuck you!
Christmas is about something much more important.
What?
Presents. Don't you see, Kyle?
Yeah.
Presents.
Hey, man. If you're Jewish, you get presents for 8 days.
Wow, really? Count me in.
Yeah, I'll be a Jew, too.
Dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. And dreidel, 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 then dreidel, I will play.
I'm sorry, man. You showed me that again. The Trey Parker one. Yes.
It's pretty funny. Like I said earlier, that's how they started out. That was their first little animation project.
That's just so wrong. It's so right. It's just so funny. I'm sorry, really, folks.
That's the genesis of South Park.
Yeah.
They had made a movie, Cannibals the Musical. I mean, they had made things before.
Yeah.
Cannibals the Musical, Orgasmo.
Yeah.
About the Mormons that get into porn.
Yeah.
They had made movies and TV.
So basically, we've got Team America and that. It's a Trey Parker.
And Interview.
Interview. Yeah. So, and if you're in North Korea listening to this, congratulations on having a computer.
Yeah. and access to the internet. Here's another. I lost it.
You did?
Yeah.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Maybe I'll find it again.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll know where you put it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
but listen, hey, let's go to our tinfoil hats. I got to do the opening. I'm not going to do the music again, but I'm going to say this is the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. The tinfoil hat
segment. Yeah.
Okay. So now you brought one in.
I did. This is our friend. He's got his own show, the 700 Club or something.
Pat Robertson.
Dear Pat. Yeah. Now this guy is just saying hunches over here like this. Talks like this. He says,
Uncle Pat is a friend of the show.
I ran out of toilet paper. I just found the Old Testament on that.
That paper
from the Old Testament. Yeah. It feels so good on your ass.
Old Pat. Yeah. Pat is he's a soft spoken kind of fascist. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just an old well heck. You know.
Well, we don't. Well, yeah. Billy Graham.
Let's kill some. Kill some gays.
Yeah, let's kill some. Well, no, they're actually going to kill themselves out like the dinosaurs.
Yeah, actually, this is what Uncle Pat came out with today. So when you're looking for tinfoil hat, always check out CBN.
Yeah, I always look for there. Yeah.
Here it is, Uncle Pat Robertson.
Crystal writes, "I've been in church all my life with my family. We are not allowed to date. The only ones in my church that are married already knew their partners before coming into church. It is treated as a sin to show interest or have a mutual understanding in church with the opposite sex. Most of the people in the church are frustrated because we're getting older and no one is getting married. We pray about the issue, but it seems like it is bouncing back. What should I do?"
You know, those who are homosexual will die out because they don't reproduce. You know, you have to have heterosexual sex to reproduce. Same thing with that church. It's doomed. It's going to die out because this is the most nonsensical thing I have heard in a long time. This is absurd. God has made us to be in families. God has created a desire of men and women to have attraction to the opposite sex so that they will reproduce and have children. If I were you, I'd get out of that church as fast as I could, cast the dust of it on your feet, shake off the dust, and run.
I never thought I'd hear him say, "You get out of that church as fast as you can."
Yeah, you get out of there quick,
because
they're the crazy ones, not us.
Well, actually, most of my people in same-sex relationships that I know often have children either by surrogates or with other couples or things like that. They're still having children genetically. Their own
Pat,
children. But,
you're talking 1960s here.
Talking out your ass, yeah.
Which is something that he's very good at.
Yeah.
Love it when he does the math.
He casts the math over how many
gay people. You know, they're going to breed themselves out.
Out of existence,
Jesus Christ, man. Like, well, Uncle Pat.
Yeah. He's my tinfoil hat.
But, you know, we really, as the last show of the year, we kind of just said, hey, let's go back to the roots of tinfoil hat. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you, this. You're going to love this.
I can't wait.
This is, you know how basically we've been talking about how black people have been mistreated inside the United States with Ferguson and everything like that. Well, Glenn Beck.
Dear Glenn. But he's had health trouble.
Yeah, that's my phone. That's my Glenn Beck alarm.
Oh no!
Yeah, I gotta dismiss that. It's whenever it smells Glenn Beck. Glenn got on his Blaze television show, which is rather scary if you ever watch it, and he went into a long dissertation how, you know, it's not the black people or the poor are discriminated against in this society. You know who's discriminated against?
Who?
Him.
Glenn Beck is being discriminated against.
He's the funny. Try being me. That's what he said. This is going to be some of the funniest shit.
I want to hear this.
I have heard all year. Ladies and gentlemen,
the one, the only.
The absolute self-pity is a magnitude. Glenn Beck.
You want to talk about racism? You want to talk about bigotry? Let me ask you. You tried being me? You tried being a conservative? You tried being a Tea Party member? You tried being an actor that has to meet in secret because of their political or religious beliefs, so people like you don't blackball him? Did I just say blackball? Yes, I did. Have you ever thought about being some of those actors that are afraid to say things around you because of the power that you and people like you wield? Let me ask you that. Well, you can't change the color of your skin. I can't change what I believe. I believe in God the Almighty. I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's nothing that I can do to change that. I sometimes, believe me, I don't want to believe that. It's not fun all the time. It's not easy all the time. It doesn't make you popular all the time. I can't change it. It is who I am. It's to the very fiber of my being. That's who I am. Do you think I want to be a pariah? Do you think those people who work on the same sound stages as you don't want to be popular?
Nurse?
You think they want to meet about him?
Nurse?
I knew he was having his health problems. Do you think he's off his meds or something?
He's off his meds.
It's really shocking. How can you really believe in that? He believes, he really thinks he's like, people are actually prejudiced against him.
Mad. This is Glenn Beck, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He's absolutely sure that
he's the victim. Not he's the victim. Victim. He's the victim.
You know what it's like being me?
Do you know what it's like to be me? I said blackball. Oh, no. I mean, that's just a way of voting.
Oh, God. Did you, like, we were sitting there listening to it in the studio here, and I just went, oh, my God.
You call it the studio?
Yeah, this is a studio. This is about as close as you're going to get. But it was like, we were just sitting there listening to it on the speaker. And we got to go, you know, we got to be the two guys listening to him going, get his meds. Yes.
Get a straitjacket. What was they used to catch people in a net?
Oh, my God.
From the loony bin? Yeah, get the net.
Oh, Jesus. That is just absolutely insane. That man is
Willie,
not balanced.
Look at the time.
Yeah, we got to go. Listen, this has been a very, very long show.
It's our Christmas show. The last Christmas show! We might be off the air for a few days.
Yeah, we're going to be off the air till the middle of January.
You reckon?
Well, I don't know. Can you make yourself available?
Sure.
Yeah, you can? Okay, fine. We're going to try to do a show right into the new year, maybe the first week.
Yeah, yeah.
Depends on what happens. But as we said, we try to do it twice a month here on The Bill Show.
Yeah.
And, you know, just have a bit of fun every month. So you can, by the way, we've been picked up by Overcast.
Overcast.
Overcast FM.
Yeah.
We're at Podbay FM. We're at Stitcher Radio.
And
we're
Podbean.
At Podbean, which is our www.expatprogressive.podbean.com, and you can hit
That's
us
our
there.
Home base.
That's
yeah.
our home base.
And iTunes.
And iTunes, of course. So you can get us also on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show. That's right, Stitcher Radio.
Oh, God. What did you... Did they pay to say that?
No, I just made
yeah,
it
you
up.
Made it up.
Sounds
That's
good.
That's okay.
Anyway. I don't know, but also, you know, if you want to email us, come on, you really
yeah,
do.
Yeah, do and send us money and
send
gifts.
Us money. There's a donate button on the site.
I know. I've pressed yeah. it a few times, but nothing comes out.
I said nothing. It's not going to donate to you.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to donate to the.
Can I say happy holidays?
Of this show.
Can I say happy holidays? Can I say happy Hanukkah?
Happy holidays, guys.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Tannenbaum. All yeah. the various things that people believe in at this time of year, both up in the cold part
yeah.
and down here in the warm part.
You know, I'll tell you something. One of my favorite films is the Christmas film, and I know I'm a bit of a cornball, but Love Actually. I love that movie, right?
Love Actually?
I love that movie.
You know, I tested for that to be the
bartender. Did
you? Yeah, the bartender in the bartender scene up in the cold snow, yeah.
No shit.
I was living in England that when they made that.
Really?
I tested for the second Harry Potter as well. Listen, people don't want to hear this shit.
No, I find it fascinating. Yeah, did you meet the director or anything?
No. I went to one of the studios.
That's the part of the movie where the English guy goes to Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. And it's,
and he just gets laid. Yeah. You know, just yeah. all.
And I was the bartender.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry to bring you in on that little...
A little bit
of ego tripping.
Hey, let's wave and hey, yeah. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas.
Have a lovely and safe holiday and a warm holiday because I understand it's very cold up there.
Yeah, we love you all at the Bill Show.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye.
There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.